Joining me now on the phone is my good friend Chris Mooney, political scientist at the University of Illinois Chicago and a member of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs with the University of Illinois System. Chris, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure, Rick.
I wanted to kind of get your take on, and we've spoken to Senator Don Harmon earlier and Republican leader Bill Brady in the Senate. I kind of wanted to get your take of the takeaway of one of a state budget that both sides are kind of using as campaign fodder to. I'd written previously, as I mentioned to Senator Brady, that it kind of took the oddity of a major election year to bring a sense of normalcy back to the state of Illinois.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at how things have progressed really in the state and in the nation in the last few years, it's kind of head spinning and, may not be over yet. So we'll see. But yeah, the fact that we've got a budget, which used to be, of mild interest to those, sort of directly involved in the legislative process, but now is, it's like everybody in the state holding their breath to see if they're going to get it together. One more time, that's a whole different world. But, for the governor, I think this was crucial. He had to do it, in order to have any kind of chance for reelection. When you're the governor, you wear the collar. You're responsible. You took the job. You said I can do it. You said I'm successful at everything I've done. You can't keep blaming people forever. They do, but it's a matter of how long you blame others for your own failures, or how long can you blame others and not accept responsibility, even if they aren't your failures, and even if they are the other person's problem. But when you're in charge, and you got to accept responsibility. So he had to get this done this year, and he did it by completely abandoning approach that he took in the previous 3 years.
Well, the turnaround agenda.
Yeah, all the stuff that he said he wanted, all the sort of union busting moves and other kind of reforms. He just gave 100% up on those. So those in the Republican Party who were hoping for him to succeed in this, he hasn't succeeded. He's failed 100% by his own terms. And so the question is, are they going to be satisfied enough with him and get excited to say, well, yeah, he couldn't get it done in 4 years, but 8 years for sure. We're going to do it. So, are those people going to get excited and come out in November? And then, of course, on the other side, you've got virtually an unknown quantity, and J.B. Pritzker, and the other guy's got enough money to define him the way they wish, and so we're all getting ready for $100, $200, $300 million worth of negative commercials coming our way over the next few months.
I don't know that you can buy $300 million worth with this short amount of time, but certainly
I'll sell it to them. I'll figure out a way to make it happen. If you got the money, somebody's going to do it, right?
Well, that's true. I just don't know if there's enough time available to be able to buy that kind of an onslaught of ads. But
well, you may be right. But look what happens when they run out of sort of legit ads. They go out and do stuff like, oh, let's write a book about somebody, like the Jeannie Ives did. Had somebody write a commissioned a book about Rauner. Last year, the IPI commissioned a movie about Mike Madigan. That's a great idea. I think 157 people saw that movie, but, they had an extra $1 million or whatever it was.
Right,
so they threw
right.
it in that direction.
When I spoke to Leader Brady, he pointed out the some of the elements of the budget, including $53 million for the Quincy Veterans Home as a kind of the start to rebuild that. And that, of course, was the site of a deadly Legionnaires outbreak in 2015. And there have been annual outbreaks since. In total, 13 people have died, and dozens have been sickened by Legionnaires. And I guess I'm wondering, to me, that would seem to be the whole issue of Quincy. It could be a very major stumbling block for the governor's reelection, just because of all the things that that entails?
Well, you know, it could be. And, you know, we're going to have to see how this develops. You never really know what are going to be the major themes on these idiosyncratic things. I mean, in general, you know, it's going to be the budget. It's going to be Trump. It's going to be, you know, the economic situation in Illinois. It's going to be CPS, other things like that. So you know that that's something. But these are idiosyncratic, scandally kind of things that come popping up. Sometimes they have traction, sometimes they don't. This one, yeah. Dead veterans, a governor who, I mean, I don't know what his, I don't know how hell he got out of the draft. You know, was it bone spurs or whatever, like the president? But he's of that generation that this is an uncomfortable situation for. The same thing for Bill Clinton. It was the same for a bunch of people of that generation. So he might get tarred with it. Now, on the other hand, his opponent is in the same boat. So, I mean, and J.B. Pritzker never served in the military, that I know. I know he had a brother that did, I think, or sister. But anyway, but the point is that if you don't know if these things are going to catch fire or not, and you know, maybe it's one more little thing, maybe, you know, sometimes it's, you know, a particularly attractive, you know, I don't mean physically attractive, but some kind of a person who's the face of it, right? There's a, you know, somebody that dies and there was a particular situation that really catches you guys' attention in the media, that catches, you know, readers' attention. They get excited about it. Or maybe it just becomes a nothing. We'll just have to see.
Well, I mean, you did have the fact that for the State of the State speech, the governor had one of the Quincy veterans in attendance and referred to him. That veteran later caught Legionella, or Legionnaire's disease, and just recently died, though not of that disease. But I mean, there's kind of, the governor was trying to put a face on, see, I'm you know, with the vets and all of this, and then it was only a little while later that that same vet, you know, suffers from Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a little disingenuous. I always felt this about Pat Quinn too. He would always go to the veterans' funerals. You know, it's very easy to stand up and say, yes, we're with the vets, we're always with them, we're always behind them. But when time comes for you to serve, if you dig that decision in a different direction, especially during time of war, I don't know that you've got a lot of moral standing to stand with them and sort of get some political, you know, benefit from that, in the end. So, I mean, the governor's been doing this, politicians, you know, the president, I mean, it is obscene the way he slobbers all over the military when he scooted out of the draft, his quickest way he could get out of it after serving in military school. So, you know, the whole military thing is a little fraught for that generation. And, you know, you get people that served like Al Gore and, now I'm going to forget, but the first Secretary of Defense for Obama.
John McCain.
Well, John McCain, obviously, yes. But I'm thinking of people who, you know, weren't career military. He was a senator from Nebraska, Republican. I forget his name.
Kerry.
Anyway, pardon?
Bob Kerry.
Well, yeah. Well, Bob Kerry. Well, he won the Congressional Medal. This was just a grunt. I can't remember his name. He was the first enlisted combat veteran or something to be the Secretary of Defense. It didn't last long, but. Anyway, yeah, so it's potentially fraught, but we're not, you know, but it doesn't seem, you know, the thing that's different now than it was in the 50s or the 60s is that a lot, you know, most people, you know, especially, you know, upper middle class people don't have relatives who have been veterans, haven't been veterans. They don't know, you know, Uncle Joe wasn't killed in the war. In the 50s and 60s, everybody's family had veterans because everybody was involved in World War II,
right,
about one way or the other. So now it's very specialized, and it's more the work class, as the military generally has been over, you know, represented by them in the long run, but it's really, it's a much more specialized group and smaller group. So whether it has that broad resonance, it's, you know, I'm not sure.
We're speaking with Chris Mooney, political scientist at the University of Illinois Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back. back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, speaking with Chris Mooney, political scientist at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Chris, I don't know if you got to hear Senate Republican Leader Bill Brady in the last segment where he was talking about the J.B. Pritzker kind of generic proposal for a graduated income tax, but basically saying that the state is better suited to maintain with its flat tax. And I've kind of wondered if, you know, this idea of a graduated tax coming from Pritzker and Democrats isn't kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't situation, because he doesn't want to say what tax rates should be. He says he needs to see what the budget is before, or the state's finances are, before proposing what those graduated tax rates would be. But yet, in the absence of having those tax rates, it allows Republicans to say, well, that's just going to be another tax on you, another tax on the middle class.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a big mistake for them not to. I mean, if they're going to say, they're going to go out on a limb and say this is what they want to do, because it's easy to manipulate this. Because you can turn it into a bugaboo. Oh, you know, don't trust them. They're doing something with the taxes, in the end you're going to pay more. You know, politicians, you know. So he's got to be more specific in order to be credible, because what he's got to be able to say is, look, the argument for a progressive tax is that of fairness. Is that it's fairer for some, sort of like Warren Buffett says, it's unfair for his secretary to have to pay a higher rate, or even the same rate, of tax as he does, because he can afford it more. And, so he needs to be able to say, look, we need to sock it to the rich. That's, you know, the sort of the Democratic line, right? I mean, they've got plenty. They get theirs. Let's have them chip more into the social good. And, he needs to be able to say something like, 98% Illinoisans will pay no tax, more tax, and, 2% will. That's what he needs to be able to say, but he can't say that without specifics.
And it, as I said, then it just opens the door for him for Republicans.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's always the case when you've got somebody like a Pritzker who's a newbie, right? He's a super rich, still fight candidate. Never run, he ran for Congress, but years ago, and nobody remembers that, and he'd probably prefer to forget it. But he never served before, but he's got all the money in the world, just like Ron, just like Trump, and just like, a variety of governors around the country. I think there's seven of them right now, who are these super rich guys, like Rauner, never served in public office before. Some do well, some do poorly. Rauner actually is in terms of public popularity, doing worst of any of them, and really almost worse than any governor in the country. Though popularity is not necessarily the only criteria for evaluating a governor, it's certainly, when going into an election, is an important one. So Pritzker is brand new. He's got no track record. So they can define him as they want. And so whenever you're a new candidate, you have to make sure you get up there in front and define yourself before your opponent does. And so this is going to be a battle between two messaging. Is this a fair tax process that, almost every other state has and the federal government has had, forever, or at least for 100 years, or is it, another way for the Democrats to take your money away and give it to somebody that's not you?
We'll be keeping an eye as that message develops, because no doubt it's going to be a central part of the campaign. Chris Mooney, political scientist, University of Illinois, Chicago, member of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs with the University of Illinois System. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure, Rick. Good luck on the move.
Thank you. Over there. Thank you so much.
So long.
We'll be back with more right after this.